Reese, did I tell you about this? I didn't. I saw you in the National Day of Prayer. We didn't talk. So I think, did I reference what happened? Okay, so in California, we're streaming? Okay. So in California, right before Christmas, I get a call. I'm not mentioning any names, somewhere in California from San Diego all the way to the Oregon border. Pretty broad. We get a call from a prominent ministry in California that lost people during COVID, never recovered, and for various reasons. And incredible amount of debt, but incredible property, like 70 plus acres, worth $80 million, three auditoriums. And we get a call. Pastor Sam, this is not going to survive. You're the first call we're making. Would you be interested in merging your ministry with ours and taking over the property? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we went like, whoa. So I look back because we're in need in California. God, by the grace of God, he gave us a multi-ethnic church. Our church looks like the kingdom. We're 40% white, which means Caucasian for you in New York. Is that too much? Should we come back a little bit, pull it back? Is that too much? 40% African-American, which means black in California. And 20% Latino, Native American, and Asians. Seriously, it looks like heaven. It's heaven. It looks like heaven. And it's 68% millennial, very young church. And God blew it up. So we're in desperate need. We're three services. We're going to start a fourth one. God's really blowing it up. I need a place bad. So we thought this is an answer to prayer. So can we call you into a meeting? First meeting we walk in. First meeting. I walk in with four of my board members, five of us total. They have their board members. And I'm thinking first question is going to be on Pastor Sam. Talk to us about integration of systems, fiduciary governance. What's your polity? What's your ethos? What's your creed, your credo? All of that, right? You know, talk to us about the anointing and artificial intelligence. No, I'm kidding about that one. Not that. Which is a conversation we should have. Anyway, that's not right now. So first meeting, we walk in. His wife was there, who was our board secretary. I sat down here. I'm thinking, all right, give me the questions, right? First question. Pastor Sam, thank you for coming to the meeting. Here's our first question. Pastor Sam, our church leans left. Where do you lean? Now you got to put this in perspective. I'm a part-time comedian. The stuff I wanted to say, the thoughts going through my mind. But I'm looking, I was like silent, which is a sign and a wonder. I couldn't say anything. Nothing would come out. And my team looked at me like, Pastor. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit filled me and said, go ahead, say it. And I'm fighting with the Lord because if I say it, I'm going to lose his chance. And God said, say it. And I'm going like this. Like if I lacked fiber, I'm going like, no. Say it. So I had no choice. I looked and I went, sir, interesting question. With great due deference, we don't lean. We don't lean. In our church, we never lean. We stand. We stand on God's promises. We stand on God's word. We stand on everything the Bible says. Everything the Bible calls sin, we call sin. Everything the Bible calls holy, we call holy. We stand on righteousness and justice. Truth. We don't need any churches or Christians. We need to stop leaning and start standing on everything that God places through his spirit. Is there a church in Buffalo that knows how to stand? We stand. The Spirit of God enables us, empowers us to be able to stand with righteousness and justice and truth and love. Psalm 89:14. Let me land this real quick with a testimony. Any questions here? Don't open up your eyes. Let's just do it. Continuity is important. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I prayerfully declare that my life, my house, my family, stands defined and filled with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, every room, every family member, every room here, everyone I'm connected to, filled with God's precious Spirit. In Jesus' name, give him one more clap offering like you believe actually what you just said. Jesus spit into the ground. You need to do a comparative analysis. On another occasion, Jesus did this. He spit into another blind man's eyes. It wasn't this man. The other blind man, the Bible says that he actually had this moment where he says, now that you did this, I just won't tell you, I can see, but not clearly. The people look like, and the Bible says he restored his sight. It wasn't this man. This man was born blind. So Jesus, instead of just spitting it directly, what did he do? He went where first? To the dirt. What did God make man out of? Genesis 2:7. Jesus went back to the original blueprint. He went back to the, I'm preaching to at least five people now. He went back to the original design. In God's original plan for your family, there are no addicts. In God's original plan for your life, you don't die of diabetes or cancer or heart disease. I'm preaching now. In God's original plan for your generation, for your family line, it's not multi-generational curses and alcoholism. And are you with me right now? In God's original plan, you are blessed and favored, and you are glorious, and you are holy, and you are righteous, and there is shalom. I'm here to tell you to get ready. How many believe 1 Corinthians 15:45 that when Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected, we are made according to the model of the second Adam, not the first Adam? When we are born again, we come again, go back to God's original plan. Get ready. You and your family will live out God's original plan for your lives. Pastor Sam, but my life is messy. What do you mean, his original plan? God has a plan for you, for your children, your children's children. For your now and for your next, Jeremiah 29, 11, 1 Corinthians 15:45, Psalm 139, 113. You are not where you are. You are not how you are. You are not what others did to you or what you did to yourself. You are who God says you are. You are what God says you are. It's not about where you are in life. It's about who you are in Christ.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
On occasion, Jesus did this. He spit into another blind man's eyes. It wasn't this man. The other blind man, the Bible says that he actually had this moment where he says, now that you did this, I just won't tell you. I can see, but not clearly. The people look like, and the Bible says he restored his sight. It wasn't this man. This man was born blind. So Jesus, instead of just spitting it directly, what did he do? He went where first? To the dirt. What did God make man out of? Genesis 2:7. Jesus went back to the original blueprint. He went back to the, I'm preaching to at least five people now. He went back to the original design. In God's original plan for your family, there are no addicts. In God's original plan for your life, you don't die of diabetes or cancer or heart disease. I'm preaching now. In God's original plan for your generation, for your family line, it's not multi-generational curses and alcoholism. And are you with me right now? In God's original plan, you are blessed and favored, and you are glorious, and you are holy, and you are righteous, and there is shalom. I'm here to tell you to get ready. How many believe 1 Corinthians 15:45 that when Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected, we are made according to the model of the second Adam, not the first Adam? When we are born again, we come again, go back to God's original plan. Get ready. You and your family will live out God's original plan for your lives. Pastor Sam, but my life is messy. What do you mean, his original plan? God has a plan for you, for your children, your children's children. For your now and for your next, Jeremiah 29, 11, 1 Corinthians 15:45, Psalm 139, 113. You are not where you are. You are not how you are. You are not what others did to you or what you did to yourself. You are who God says you are. You are what God says you are. It's not about where you are in life. It's about who you are in Christ. Oh, and when you know who you are in Christ, you will never be held back by where you are in life. Your identity in Christ will bring an end to your captivity in life. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, his original plan, that we should walk in them. Raise your hand. Everything God has planned will come to pass. Your children will not inherit your sins. Your children will inherit your blessings. Your children will not inherit your mistakes. Your children will inherit your mantles. You believe that? Say amen. Let me close with a testimony that I asked Pastor Robert permission. It's not politicized. It's just what took place. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where I was raised, I attended a church, an Assembly of God church, nearby city, Allentown, the Lehigh Valley. My parents are not preachers. I went to church because my mom said this: go to church or die. In essence, I think I made the right choice. So I did not embrace or accept or believe wholeheartedly what I saw, especially the charismatic Pentecostal expressions. Speaking in tongues, people getting slain. I thought it was mass hysteria. I thought that was cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. So I questioned it all. And then I'm about 12, 13 years old. I am there in that church, already an evangelical agnostic. And I'm there. This guy walks in for the first time in our church with the Teen Challenge Choir. His name is Bernie Gillow. He worked for David Wilkerson's Rehearsburg camp in Pennsylvania. Comes in, this is the 1980s now. He comes into his choir, first time in our church. And he starts singing, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place." Midstream, he goes, "Holy Spirit, thou art." He says, "Whoa, the Lord says there's a Sammy here, a Sammy." By the way, if you ever want to go to a Hispanic church and prophesy, all you got to say is God has a word for Jose or Maria. You can't go wrong. So Sammy, I'm the only Sammy in my church. My dad is Samuel. Reverendo Luis Felipe Lugo, my pastor, he's still with us. He goes, "Sammy, esto es para ti." Which would trigger any Generation Z. It would put any young person here in therapy for 40 years. They would walk out life with a twitch. So I'm going, oh my goodness. I'm walking up in front of the whole church. And my pastor's going, "Come on, this is you, it's for you." And I'm going, "Man, if that rapture thing is legit, come, Lord Jesus, come right now." I walk up here, Bernie Gallo looks at me and says, I'm like 12, 13 years old. He looks at me and says, "Oh, God, you're a boy. And God says he sees a man. Everything I'm doing now was laid out prophetically with great legitimacy, not generically, not like God's going to bless you. No. I'm talking about descriptors, items, details, items. A couple of hundred people there. There was a young lady there who saw it, sat right there. She saw it. And she said, if this is true, I'm going to marry that man one day. That's my wife of 33 years. By the way, if you're single and God gives up, I'm kidding. So I get that word. He wraps up with this. He says, and the Lord says, you will pray over presidents of the United States of America. Who tells you that, dude? Like, get that one wrong, you're done. I'm an atheist for life. That's wild. That's how I got to the White House. George W. Bush brought me in as an advisor. I was seated with Karl Rove and working with the Bush administration. Never knocked on the door, never sought it, never said, oh, God gave me a word, I need to be here. Right after Bush, President Obama brought me in, served there for 8 years as an advisor. Don't have to agree with them. Don't even have to vote for them. I knew my prophetic assignment. President Obama brought me in for his inauguration, so I did his private ceremony with T.D. Jakes, Yolanda Adams, Rick Warren at St. John's Episcopal Church, the one they do right before they go up to Capitol steps. And then years later, fast forward, I get a call. It's right after Trump got elected. It's December. He got elected in November. And I get a call. I was driving in my car with my wife from San Francisco over to Sacramento. And we were driving over and got a call, Bluetooth in the car, unknown number. I usually don't pick it up because I think it's the IRS. And now they're armed. So I, you know, unknown number, Holy Spirit said, pick it up. So I pick it up, say, we're looking for Reverend Rodriguez. And I go, okay, speaking. Reverend Rodriguez, the president-elect, we're calling you from the Senate Inaugural Committee. The president-elect would like you to participate in his inauguration. I looked at my wife and went like, what? And I went, okay, what would you like me to do? First of all, I thought it was my cousin Paco from the Bronx, right? We all have a cousin. No, we don't. We all don't have a cousin Paco. Know your audience. So, you know, first when I confirmed it was legit, he goes, we want you to present. I go like this. What would you, I'm honored. Can you tell the president-elect that I'm grateful? I'm honored. What would you like me to do? And he says, participate. So I'm looking at my wife, driving. What would you like me to do? He says, participate. Would you like me to pray, sir? He goes, sure. So I'm gonna push it. Sir, would you like me to read scripture? He goes, why not? As a pastor, the third question I wanted to ask that I did not, would you like me to raise the offering? But I didn't. I was trying to get to the point. Which one is it? The private one or the public one? And he finally got it. And he said, sir, Reverend Rodriguez, this is the one on the Capitol steps. Over 1 billion people will be watching live around the world. He says, so he assumed. He says, so please give me your email address. The Department of Justice, the FBI has to do another background check in which we get, you know, better constantly. So yeah, that's fine. And then I give him the email, and then I go, but sir, can you give me some time? He goes, for what? I said, I need time to pray about this. Awkward silence. He goes, you need time to pray about this? I go, yes, sir. He goes, you need time to pray about praying. I said, yes, sir. Awkward silence. My wife could attest to this. It's been thoroughly vetted. Guy didn't, just a silence. The inflection changed. And the guy goes, how much time do you need? And I'm trying to, like, calculate. My wife is no longer looking at me, which is both a sign and a wonder. So I go, 3 weeks. He goes, you need 3 weeks to pray about praying. I go, yes, sir. I guess I'll call you back in 3 weeks. Okay. The reason why that happened is because I told you my church is diverse. In my mind, I said, if I participate in this inauguration, I'm going to lose a good portion of my church. Be transparent, which means layoffs and budget cuts and all that. So I was thinking, as a CEO and a business administrator, my wife turned around and just looked at me and said, what are you doing? I went, honey, we're going to pray. She went, what are you doing? I go, praying. She goes, no, what are you doing? I go, honey, we have to pray. She went, I was there. I'm going, where? When you were 12 years old and God said you were going to end up doing this, you don't need to pray to see if it's God's will. You need to pray for God to fill you and give you the words that you need in order for you to speak in front of all these people. God's original purpose, original design. We got so, the moment the media announced that I was participating in the inauguration for this president, even though I did it for Obama, we got death threats. Drones coming to our home. Vans parked in front of our home. George can attest to this. It became crazy. Crazy. The amount of just cuckoo for Cocoa Puff stuff that took place. I was told, you do this, you're not going to make this, son. We're coming after you and your family. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You're coming after me because I'm praying? And they saw it completely political, of course. So it was so tense, I had to walk with my mess. All of a sudden, put the picture up, please. I don't know if you have a media team. I don't know if you have the picture of the inauguration or not. That day of the inauguration, there it is. If you have the wide shot, I don't know if you have the wide shot, but that's the wide shot. There, you see the Obamas, you see the Bidens, the Clintons, you have right here the Trumps, and I was actually seated behind the bushes. Right behind here. And I'm about to go up. A couple days before, a reporter from a magazine looked at me and said, this is about this, your mess becomes a miracle. Everything was messy. Everything was crazy. I mean, everything you could imaginable. A reporter looks at me and says, Sam, please tell me, who I've worked with in the past, please tell me that you're not going to do this. I said, it's my God assignment. Is God's plan for my life. I have no choice. She went, I don't get that. But anyway, if you're going to do it, you're going to lose half your audience. You're both on CNN and Fox. You're going to lose half your people that like you. That's fine. Please promise you're not going to mention the name. And I went, what? She went, Sammy, look, for 12 years, that name hasn't been mentioned. There was an unwritten agreement that anyone who would pray for the inauguration wouldn't mention the name, because if you mention the name, you alienate everyone in America who doesn't believe in that name. So the unspoken rule is, go back, look at the different inaugurations all the way 12 years back. That it was the last person to say it was Billy Graham. He says, you can't, don't say the name. You can say wind, love, faith, hope, and if you have to, say God. That's the worst case scenario. But don't mention the name. Tell me you're not going to mention it. And I went, you're going to have to watch and see what happens. I'm about to go up. Cardinal Dome from New York did not mention a name. God bless him, but he went first. I came up. I read from Matthew 5. I read it. I prayed it. I declared it prophetically. I'm here. I looked into the cameras. Supreme Court, presidents, members of Congress, the crowd. Nations were streaming. BBC, Al Jazeera, all over the world, they were streaming. Different social media platforms, live. I'm about to leave in the same Holy Spirit. I'm about to walk off with all the threats, all the mess, everything. In order for me to see what I have not seen before, I had to say something that wasn't said in a long time. So I looked into the cameras, into the audience, and the Holy Spirit said, Sammy, say it. Say it, Sammy, say it. So I looked forward and said, I make this prayerful declaration respectfully. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go to YouTube. The president shouted amen. The members of Congress said amen. People went, he said Jesus, amen. Crowd exploded. Some of you may have been there, and they said, amen. All over the news, they said, it became a Jesus fest. The name of Jesus was mentioned in this inauguration more than ever before in human history. Why did it become a Jesus fest? Nations that never heard Jesus for the first time. Why did the world react like that?
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.